Welcome to Focus on Education, a podcast from the Center for Educational Practice at Union University's School of Education.
Welcome to the Focus on Education podcast. In today's session, we're going to hear the words of Dr. Anna Clifford as she shares with us what she knows for sure about the field of education. Today is October 9, 2013, and this is Eric Marvin, the director of the Roseboro Center for Educational Practice. Our guest today is Dr. Anna Clifford, and she is here today to share with us what she knows for sure about the field of education.
Thank you, Dr. Marvin. I'm delighted to be here. The chapter test was scheduled for Monday. With his stern voice, my ninth grade math teacher told me over and over again to memorize the integer rules and work the problems. I tried. I cried. Math was my best subject. However, these things called integers were about to get the best of me and my grades. I had no clue. Occasionally, I would get the correct answer, but I really didn't know why. I kept asking myself, how can I have less than zero? When I have zero, I have nothing. Alas, it was Friday. My parents and I were headed to my grandparents' house. Uncle Kelsey had come home from Alaska for a few days. It would be fun listening to his Alaskan adventures. As the afternoon passed, I found myself sitting at Granny's dining room table in the presence of those integers again. Uncle Kelsey approached the table and questioned my frustration. Through tears, I explained, and he listened. Then he began his story. As he talked about an Eskimo and ice fishing, he began to draw. I saw an Eskimo sitting near his igloo and a fishing hole cut in the ice. He dropped the fishing hook on the ice and talked about zero. Then he dropped the hook below the ice, and he talked about below zero. He called those negative numbers. He would pull the hook above the ice and label those positive numbers. Then a number line appeared. These are integers, he said. When his fishing line and hook, we added and subtracted integers while working through those reading problems. On Monday morning, the integer test happened. The tests were distributed with a pencil. I sketched the ice fishing Eskimo, added the fishing line, and moved the hook up and down to solve each problem. I gently erased the drawings and submitted the test, feeling very accomplished. The next day, the papers were returned, and the score was much higher than my teacher expected. I was thrilled. 9 years later, I found myself sharing the Eskimo integers adventure with students in my own seventh grade math classroom. This time, I was the teacher. My students had the same awe moment, feeling accomplished. This I know for sure. Teenagers can learn if activities are broken down into small sequential steps and involve concrete hands-on learning. A few years later, I was invited to teach in a pre-K classroom. I had no experience other than working with my own children and teaching in children's church. I had no pre-K training. I enrolled in a Montessori methods training course. I prepared Montessori materials. I gave the children lessons with the materials, and I watched learning come alive for those young children. Using sandpaper letters, children learned an isolated short sound of each letter. Then they learned how to blend these sounds and make words. Cat, cat. Later, they combined the words and read sentences and meaningful stories. The f-at, cat, s-at on the hat. They were reading. The students had the same ah moment, feeling accomplished. In the heart of the Montessori Methods training course were words of Maria Montessori. Children can learn if activities are broken down into small sequential steps and involve concrete hands-on learning. This I know for sure. Some 15 years later, I found myself in the midst of an instructional design and technology course at the University of Memphis. The discussion for the evening class was job aid. As I listened attentively, the professor said a job aid provides concise information or an easy-to-follow set of instructions to perform a specific task or procedure. Job aids come in many formats, but my task was to create one with step-by-step instructions. The key to designing an effective job aid is careful planning and needs analysis. The professor explained that it would be an independent teaching-learning tool in a step-by-step instructional format. My first job aid unfolded: how to create a gradebook using Microsoft Excel. The steps were sequential and numbered. Phrases were written and screenshots integrated. The job aid was created. The students followed the steps and screenshots and created a gradebook using Excel. The students had the same aha moment, feeling accomplished. This I know for sure. College students can learn if activities were broken down into small sequential steps and involve concrete hands-on learning. But what about the master teacher? As a master teacher, Jesus' excellent teaching method is seen in his simplicity. Jesus used concrete objects. What about sharing the loaves and the fishes, calming the sea, or turning the water to wine? When he was asked concerning the payment of taxes, he asked for a coin and explained. Along with the concrete objects were his words. He presented the biblical content and concepts in a sequential manner so that those who heard had a clearer understanding of its real meaning. From my perspective, the disciples had an aha moment, feeling accomplished. This I know for sure. Disciples can learn if activities were broken down into small sequential steps and involve concrete hands-on learning. For me, the whole idea is the heart of successful teaching every day. We talk about learning gaps. We must take time to close them, and we must teach our students how to close them as well. Whether it's reviewing Robert Sr. on how to multiply and divide fractions, allowing Robin to enlighten me with common core teaching strategies, listening to Robert II as he leads to through some troubleshooting the router, teaching Davis how to turn the pages in a book, or coaching students or colleagues as they explore new iPad apps and tools, little sequential steps can make it happen. In each case, the learner has the same aha moment, feeling accomplished. This I know for sure. Everyone can learn if activities were broken down into small sequential steps and involve concrete hands-on learning. Recently, I was having a conversation with a couple of colleagues. As the conversation unfolded, the topic of effective use of technology integration surfaced. We talked about curriculum standards and possible technology tools that could enhance the lessons discussed. We talked about specific sequential steps to take within the process and about various ways we could work together to make it happen. As the conversation ended, one colleague looked at the other colleague and said, "And she makes us think that we can do it too." Feeling accomplished. This I know for sure. Colleagues know we can learn if activities are broken down into small sequential steps and involve concrete hands-on learning.
Dr. Clifford, we certainly do appreciate the words that you have shared with us today and the fact that you bring a wealth of experience and understanding about the field of education to us. The question I'd like to lead with is this. Certainly, you have a background or an understanding of technology in education, as you are a technology integration specialist in the School of Education at Union University. So how does technology assist the process of concrete learning that you've spoke about in your statement?
I think the tools and technology certainly fit into the arena of the concreteness piece of it. I'm firm a believer in manipulatives in the classroom, but I do see that technology would be the next step up from manipulatives, and in many cases take the place perhaps of some of those manipulatives that we might put out there on the desk for children. There's so many apps, so many Web 2.0 tools that you can integrate into the classroom for teaching and learning. Where the lesson itself is actually driven by curriculum content of math or science or social studies, but the technology tool actually does enhance the lesson.
And so you were a former math teacher as well. And so with that level of understanding about math, as well as kind of this principle of concrete learning of the value of manipulatives, it sounds like, if I'm understanding correctly, what you're saying is that perhaps we could move away from these tangible manipulatives to something that is a little bit more virtual. Is that correct?
In some cases, yes. I think it's very important that we know each individual child and the capabilities of a child and the interest of a child. But in some cases, yes. I think that it certainly is a step up from that. I think that when you're working with real young children, those manipulatives that we're talking about on the desktop are very, very important. However, even our young children are getting into the virtual manipulative arena. So, I think that we're serving our children when we move them on up into the virtual arena area.
And the idea of concrete learning, tangible, hands-on learning, as you spoke about, is that relevant for all grade levels, or is that just relevant for the youngest of kids?
From where I sit, Dr. Marvin, because I've had experience with teaching both young children as well as junior high, and then my children also have moved on through high school themselves, I don't see it being something that you connect up with an age of a child. I really look at it at what you're trying to teach the child and what the child is trying to learn. Early on, whatever it is, I think to have a better understanding of that concept or skill, if a concrete object, item, connection can be made, I think the child can really get it and have that ah moment that we're looking for much quicker.
And so is there relevance as well? What about thinking of college students, graduate students, even adults for that matter? Is there relevance still for hands-on learning, sequential learning for that matter?
For me, it is, yes. Even adult learners need the concreteness of it all and the sequential steps that we talked about. Again, if the concepts are new, we have to start at the beginning. We have to start kind of where the students are. And so for me, the concept of concreteness and sequential steps is vital. Otherwise, I think we have a learning gap, and we have a lot of those around.
You speak very clearly about this, and it's clear that you have a deep understanding and a passion for this, and it's all shaped your philosophy. You know, you speak about these experiences in your personal life as well as your work in the elementary schools all the way through the college level, and so I think your perspective on this holds great value. You also bring to this perspective a biblical perspective, and you spoke about Jesus being the master teacher. You gave some good examples as a part of your statement there as well. How is it that Jesus really is a master teacher? Can you build on that idea a little bit more for us?
Yes, I am a Christian, and as he taught here on earth, I consider him the master teacher of it all. Know that this connection was really not made to me until probably 10 or 15 years ago. I saw him as being a teacher, teaching via lecture, teaching parables, teaching using concrete objects in the Bible, but it never really dawned on me that he was giving us those learning ways of teaching our children in the classroom, even in those days that he was here. When we get into education classes and we talk about how to teach and we talk about the lecture method and the concrete method, I personally always go back into the scriptures and say, this is where it started. He brought it here. He showed us. He taught us. His disciples learned that way. And so why shouldn't we?
It sounds like you are bringing a realization to the fact that Jesus, and not just more modern philosophers of education, really holds value, and that you're transferring that information and helping your students who are preparing to be teachers understand that value as well. It sounds like you are passionate about integrating your faith and your Christianity in the classroom as well. You certainly are someone who has a good handle on these things, and we appreciate your time with us today.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed sharing with you as well.
Thank you very much.
This has been the Focus on Education podcast. Visit uu.edu/centers/edpractice to learn more about the Center for Educational Practice and Union University's School of Education.